The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website, app owners, and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of appmasters.com, the place you go when you want action-packed content related to helping you grow your app downloads and, more importantly, those revenues. And today, we're going to talk about ad monetization. How do you grow your ad mob revenues, your advertising revenues within your app without additional SDKs, because we all hate SDKs, or adding more of the SDKs. We want to limit that. And then we're going to really discover what the 1% of app developers are really doing to squeeze out everything they can on AdMob. Today, we've got a phenomenal guest. His name is Ashish. He is the co-founder of AppRota. So let's bring him in. Ashish, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Steve, what's up? Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show, man. I'm so excited to be a guest here.
Thanks, man. Well, we've had Sid, who's the other co-founder of AppRota, on. We've done a lot of content all about AdMob and how do you increase those AdMob revenues. And Sid gave me one that I always remember, Ashish, is the app open. It's underutilized, and I've seen more apps doing the app open ad now, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Ad mediation. Rajesh is saying ad mediation. And then we got Nurex is here. Luis, always here, Luis from Venezuela. I love it. Five Live, seeing you a couple of times. Joe, what's happening? And then Chris is here as well. So we kind of teased this, Ashish, but let's break it down. Give me that secret. What is that 1% of app developers doing that we don't know about?
Yeah, you know, so just a bit of pretext, because I spent a lot of time in Google. I was in the Google India team for about 4 years. And basically, I was working with a lot of cool app and game developers on AdMob and AdSense, right? And I was always mind-blowing how some people, like maybe 20, 30 developers, made millions with the same apps or the same games. And the rest of the folks with the, you know, amazing teams, great code, great games, great apps, made like $10,000. And I never understood the gap until I left Google and I came to the other side, the dark side of the moon, right? I would say, look, I think in my experience, there are four things that I've learned that the 1% of developers globally do to monetize ads better than the rest of the folks out there, right? And you should take this down if you're building ads and you're, you know, building an ad mob or ad monetization led app. One is the number of A/B tests that you run every week. We have developers that run at least 10 tests across which ad networks they're using every single week. It sounds crazy. It sounds mad. But they test every single network every week to make sure that it's performing to its best capability. A lot of developers don't do this. Mm-hmm. The second point, add as many demand partners as possible, especially on bidding. On bidding, you don't need an SDK, so just add as many demand partners. Every single demand partner you add, even if they add 1% of revenue, they are adding more competition for the larger networks. That is very, very important. Do not forget adding local DSPs. If you're based in Brazil, you're based in Venezuela, you're based in India, you're based in the USA, there are plenty of local DSPs who are working with some advertisers and they've got really good demand, which is not there in the bigger networks. Add the local DSPs. The third thing, you need a really, really solid data analytics team, especially for your waterfall. So everyone should be using a waterfall, firstly. Don't depend only on bidding. Everyone should be using a waterfall. Once you do have a waterfall, make sure that you're splitting your waterfall into different user geos. This is a very, very common gap that I've seen that 95% of developers don't do. They just have like one mediation group for all their geos. Split your geos, do data analytics. And the last thing, and probably this is the most interesting thing that I would recommend, attend every single game or monetization related conference that's happening from China all the way to the US. Don't miss out anything. You'll meet folks who've been in the industry for years and they will share the secrets of how they grew their business over a beer or a coffee. That is where the real learning is going to happen for you. It's not going to happen by reading health center articles and, you know, blogs. It's going to happen when you meet someone who's been there, done that. And that's going to happen at a conference, mostly a gaming conference. So those are four things that these developers do regularly. They have teams just like batting out, making sure they're going to every conference, they're testing every week, they're speaking to local DSPs, they're adding networks, and they got a data science guy or girl just rocking their waterfall. Yeah. You do those four things, I guarantee you, your revenue will probably double in a year.
Let's break down each point a little bit. And don't worry, Raphael, I see your question in there and I'll get to it. But number of A-B tests, what kind of A-B tests should we be running?
Yeah. So look, you've got only, the good thing is you've only got a couple of variables to play with as a person in ad monetization. The biggest one is your user geos. If you've got like 20 different countries, you cannot have one strategy for every country. You've got to have a different one for Brazil and you've got to have a different one for Canada. And you've got to have a different one for Scandinavia, right? And I don't mean just when it comes to what price flow you're setting in waterfall. But it could also be the number of ads and the format you're showing to a person in Norway versus a person in Brazil. Bear in mind, for example, that a person in Brazil is probably okay seeing five times the number of ads that a person in Norway is okay seeing.
Right.
You've got to run that test. Don't assume, just run the test. So the top developers or the top ad monetization managers we work with, they are just testing every single point. Because in this game, every single percentage point leads you to get more dollars for your UA campaigns. And that's where the flywheel starts.
Right. The when you say geos, is it just targeting like, I'm a newbie on this. All right. So I'm going to ask newbie questions. But what do you mean by that? Is it like, yeah, what do you mean by it? Like, okay, so Brazil, yeah. Is it like you said in point two or three, contact your local DSPs. Is it as easy as that?
It is. Look, the DSPs are basically people who've aggregated brands or advertisers. And those advertisers saying, hey, man, I want to advertise on app or game inventory. Can you go out and find it for me? So the DSP has got a salesperson who's desperately looking for your app or your game, which has users in Brazil, which is probably using the big network, like let's say the Googles or the Metas or AppLovin or IronSource. They already use the big guys. He or she wants to come and say, can you work with me exclusively? If you work with me, I might even give you a better margin, which a bigger network would never come and offer you. So maybe they'll be willing to share more revenue. Maybe they'll be willing to give you more stuff because you're working one-on-one with them, right? So the local DSPs, and I think this is more prevalent in North America, where there are lots of like micro DSPs, which have just got relationships with advertisers and they're looking for app inventory. So they're going to come to you. You just have to put up your hand and say, hey, I've got users in Brazil or users in USA. Have you got advertisers? Let's work together.
I love it. And then DSP, just for you guys, what is DSP? I want to screw it up.
Absolutely. DSP stands for demand side platform. Just think of it as basically a bunch of advertisers getting together and saying, we want to give you guys money for your inventory. And, you know, we want to show ads and we want to promote our products. You have the right users. Can we do it?
Yeah, I like it. Okay. And add as many demand partners. Is that just as many ad networks? Is that the same way? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing. So ad networks are basically a collection of, you know, all the brands and agencies. A lot of people work with the top five ad networks in the world already, but there are lots of new ones coming up. So keep your eye out. So for example, TikTok has Pangle. There's a network called Mintegral that's doing really well. So all of these networks that have just come up, there's Moloco. So you need to keep reading about them and adding them and testing them and seeing if it's right for you. I'm not saying add all of them, but this goes back to the A/B testing point, right? Yeah. In a year, you might test 40 new networks, right? But don't ignore them just because it's a little bit of hard work. Bear in mind that this ecosystem relies on the fact that a single percentage point increase in your revenue, I come back to this point a lot, means $5 extra for your UA campaign, which puts you ahead of the other guy who's not doing it.
I see.
Right. So just bear in mind, because most people in this space are working on arbitrage. What I mean by that is you're spending money to get a user and you're monetizing through ads. Every money you earn through ads is actually just going back into that UA campaign of yours. If your competitor is not as aggressive in earning that 1% more, he or she's got 1% less to get that next user. Over a period of 1 year, the 1% rule, which everyone talks about in life, the 1% rule will add up. It'll just compound to a very big difference between you and the next guy.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, we got a question from Nurex. In AdMob, you can select some minimum amount for show.
So Nurex, when you say minimum amount for show, do you mean like a price floor? Could you just clarify that question?
I think he does. Let's assume he does.
Okay. All right. So Nurex, to your question, that's a great question. Yes, you can select the minimum price floor that you want for every network by user geo. So if you want to have a different price floor for users in Brazil or India versus the United States and Norway, you can do that. Right. And you can have multiple price points. You can have like $10, 9.5, 8, 6, all the way down to like 0.5.
Yeah. Sheesh, I actually heard it from a friend of mine too, who, to your other point, go to the event. It was one of my events I ran, but he was like, here's how you really increase AdMob revenues. And what he was doing was like a big if then else statement around minimum amount per show. And he was like, okay, you know, starting really high. Does that trick kind of still work, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It works. And it's not just related to only AdMob. It also works for all of the networks because AdMob is the mediation platform and, you know, all the other networks are part of the waterfall. That is a really great strategy. That is what the 1% of developers are doing. They are using multiple price points. The difference could be as low as like 10.1 and 10.5. It won't look like a big difference. You'll be like, hey man, like, you know, 10.1, 10.5, like what's the difference? It could be a difference in 20x. Like I've seen that with one of our clients. Like there's a difference of 20x in revenue when they did like just that small change in price point.
Wow. So for those, you know, I'm going to try to explain it. So Ashish, you correct me. You be my teacher. Right. Okay, professor. All right, Professor Ashish. I'm saying what we do is you say like 10.5, right? And then you go, you ask the ad network, do you have something with a minimum show of 10.5 eCPM? And then they go, nope, we don't. Then you go, okay, well, do you have one with 10.1 then? And then, so it's these like if then else, does it slow down? Am I right there? Like,
I'm a proud professor. You explained it better than me.
Okay, that's cool. Does this slow down the app at all? Or is it pretty quick? It's like, boom, 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 boom. It's happening in milliseconds.
That's a great question. Look, it does. And there's this concept called latency, which is what you said. It slows it down, but it's not too bad. Look, people, like, let's say you're playing a chess game and there's a banner ad. You're playing the chess game for 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes.
Right.
It's not going to matter, right? Maybe if you're playing a game which you're not spending enough time on screen, then sure, you reduce the number of price points. But if you look at most apps, you're probably spending a minute or like 40 seconds. And all the price points that are happening in milli or microseconds. So you don't really have to worry about it. The big platforms have got that covered. They've got good tech. That solves that.
All right. Got an 8 on that one. All right. Joe says, Ashish, I temporarily added App Lovin for 3 weeks into my bidding sources. Click-through rate, CTR, was insanely high at 97-98%. My click skyrocketed, which is definitely not a good thing. Have you noticed this?
So Joe, if you didn't get a violation and you were allowed to run and you got your money, it's great. It's phenomenal because you know, everyone wants a high CTR. Yeah. But jokes apart, no, I think that's a big red flag. It probably means one of two things. Either for some reason, the traffic that's coming for that particular ad unit is some kind of bot traffic, which, you know, you should check into. Or it means that the ad that you've placed is too close to a click button, like maybe like a next level or something. And people are just clicking that by mistake and you'll eventually get penalized for it.
Mm. Okay. Joe's got another point. I'm also getting high click-through rates with Liftoff. Why is it that bidding sources are producing much higher click-through rates? I want to add others such as Meta, Pangle, PubMatic, but I'm hesitant with these high click-through rates.
Yeah, so I'll come back to the same answer because it's not the ad networks that control the CTR. CTR is something that's totally dependent on the UI of the app because it's the user clicking it. So it's either bot traffic that someone's sending your way and you need to check that immediately, or you've placed the ad way too close to a button that people want to click.
Okay. Marwan says there's a lot of ad networks in AdMob that have tested word in. Okay, I don't know. You know that. Do I have to block them to increase eCPM?
No. So adding an ad network at the wrong price will decrease your overall revenue, right? So let's say you have a setup where you have ABC ad networks and you want to add D, right? So run an A-B test saying, okay, setup A is what I'm already using, which is ABC networks at the prices, let's say $10, $9, $8. Mm-hmm. Add D at, let's say, $8 to compete with C. If it beats C, great, bring it in. You know, find another place for C. But don't block ad networks without running this A-B test. Because theoretically, adding an ad network is always going to increase your revenue as long as you are ensuring it's at the right price point, right? So just think of an ad network having, it's almost like a Tinder, like, you know, they have the right match. There is a soulmate for the ad network, and that soulmate is a price point. Right. So you got to find the right soulmate, which is the right price point for the right ad network. That's all.
I love it. We got somebody from Uganda. I love it. Much love. Okay. Much love to you back. I love it. Morocco is here as well. He looks like a baby. This guy, Osama and Michaela is here as well. Michaela, I saw you last week. All right. Nurek says, what do you think about Unity ads?
Yeah, I think, Unity is getting stronger as a platform, both on the user acquisition side, if you're running UA campaigns or if you're trying to monetize, right? And if you look at their whole strategy of acquisition with Iron Source, they've just added a very powerful ad network and a mediation platform to themselves. Mm. So now they've got everything from a great gaming engine all the way to a great user acquisition engine, all the way to a great monetization engine. Right. And I think, and this is going to take a couple of years because they've just merged. At the end of 2 years, all the data that they know about your game is really going to translate into better UA campaigns on Unity Ads and better monetization on Iron Source and Level Play, which is the mediation platform.
I like it. Okay. We got a lot of questions. All right. So I'm going to keep asking them.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Joe says, placement is okay. Yeah. They've been the same for about 5+ years. Click-through rate on AdMob network for same ad units is around 2-3%. It's just the bidding sources that produce the high click-through rate. What does he mean by bidding sources? Is it just the bidding sources meaning Liftoff and AppLovin?
Yeah, so bidding sources refers to, like, if you open your AdMob mediation, there's a tab called bidding sources.
Okay.
Those are typically like split into SDK or non-SDK. So they're basically, what that means is they're bidding real-time alongside AdMob. So they're all bidding real-time.
Yeah.
So Joe, I think, like, if you're still facing a problem and you haven't changed the placements, I would look at the sources of traffic if you added any new ones, because 97, 98 is just like crazy. It's spam. It's probably spam. If your placements are fine, it's, in my experience, it's probably spam, and you need to control that source. Most likely you should ask the ad network, have they detected any behavior, because they've got better tech to do this. Are they detecting any ad fraud that's happening on your inventory? The ad network will be in the best position to tell you.
I like it. Murad says, I think best click-through rate, max 4%.
Yeah, we've rarely seen, like, we've seen 8 and 9 without policy violations and, like, good traffic. But, like, four is generally a good average on, like, ad more mediation.
Yeah. 5Live feels the same way as I do. Whoa, someone hit me with a dump stick today, way over my head. So for people like 5Live and me, like, who want to start incorporating ads,
yeah.
Is there a simple beginner's dummies guide to ad monetization?
Look, if you're just starting ads, I think you just do the basics. I'll just run through the checklist.
Yeah, please.
And, you know, bear in mind, I always feel you should start doing ads when you feel like you've at least got 10,000 users, at least monthly users, right? Give or take. Otherwise, it's not, you know, your app might not be good enough to monetize yet. That's what I feel. And you don't want to spend your time on that. So that's the number one point before the checklist. Let's say you got that. Number one point is choose your mediation platform very, very carefully. That is a heavy tech lift, and it's like choosing iOS and Android almost. You'll be stuck with it for a while. You won't be able to flip if you choose like the wrong mediation platform. The big ones, Google, ironSource, you know, Max, and there are lots of small ones which are also great. So make sure you're choosing one where I would say you can test the performance, but you also feel like it's a good technical fit for your app. And it also offers good customer support. These are three things that I look for in a good mediation platform. So I'll repeat them. Good performance, which means, you know, good monetization. Easy to integrate in terms of, you know, documentation, iOS support, supporting your language, Android, Kotlin, whatever you're building in. And third is customer support. There are good mediation platforms, but not very good customer support. Once you've done that, then you need to add your primary ad network. So like the big guys that everyone knows, like Google, Meta, ironSource, AppLovin, Bangle. Add those guys, right? That is it. Choose your formats. That's number three. So if you're a utility app, maybe you can't grow a rewarded app because, you know, you can't grow a rewarded ad format because that's not going to fit for your app. Go heavy on interstitials, right? So read about the kind of genre your app or game is in. And there's plenty of stuff that people have already written so that if you have a particular genre, what is the ad formats that you should go heavy in? If you do those threes, you're probably off to like a 70 to 80% start already in your journey. And then you'll just kind of keep learning as you go.
Yeah, I love it. Maybe are there like specific ad formats you feel like are universal to a lot of ads? Maybe the app open, a banner ad. Those are my opinions, by the way.
Yeah, look, I think, yes, I think that's a fair point. If you look at gaming, app open is not a very common format. People want to use, you know, jump into the game straight away. Banner is the most common format by volume, but it's not a very valuable format. I think the best format, if I had to say in terms of user experience and value, is the interstitial or full page ad. And that's in both gaming and non-gaming. Because you're flipping between screens and you just see a full page ad, which is called an interstitial. And that's a high CPM, high RPM ad unit, right? So if you're using if you're not in the gaming category, go heavy on native, app open, and interstitials. If you're in a gaming category, go heavy on interstitials, rewarded for sure. Like, test the hell out of how many rewarded ads your user will see. Just like go crazy on rewarded, and then banner.
I love it. I love it. This is a cool. All right, we got some more questions. And then Five Live said, "Great newbie starter kit." Thanks, Ashish.
Thanks,
Joe says. Thanks for the insight, Ashish. Marwan says, 2 years ago when I had about 10,000 daily actives at a good ECM, about 1 to 3. But now when I have 50 to 100,000 users, ECM decreased too much for about 0.2, 0.4 in same country interstitial ads. You seen something like that happen too?
Yeah. So Marwan, this is not very common. I think top of my head, I would look at what is your CTR? Assuming you've not changed anything on the placement, right? If you've changed the placements, then that would be the first thing. But if you're saying that your users have increased in the same user geo, then the next thing to look for is what is your click-through rate. So CPM is just a very simple formula. It is CPC, cost per click, into click-through rate. Those are the two main factors that govern your CPM or RPM. So if your CPC should not change because you have the same user geos, so that should not change. Unless your users that you've got are low value users, right? So maybe your 10K users were like high value users for the advertiser. Maybe the next 40K you've got are not so high value users, even if they're the same geo. So yeah, that could be point one. Point two could be you've placed the ads a bit differently than they were, which might cause a CTR decline. So the CPC might be the same, but your CTR might have gone down. And hence your overall CPM has decreased. So just check these two things and kind of come back on, and you can ping me later if it doesn't help.
Is that the same answer for LetterGrid? We said, I noticed that the more impressions the ads get, the less the ECPM is. Any idea why?
So I'll come back to the same point, right? Like the two things that impact CPM are CPC and CDR. So if you think about your impressions increasing, it probably means that you might have gone more mass market. Advertisers, obviously, you know, the way the algorithms are for ad networks, advertisers are paying for high value users. Basically, a user who's going to maybe buy an Apple phone or buy an Amazon, buy something on Amazon. They don't want people just visiting Amazon. That's not valuable to Amazon to show an ad. And, you know, you come to Amazon, they're like, I don't want to pay for you, right? They pay very little value for you. So if your impressions are going up and you're basically getting window shoppers, your CPM is not going up, right? Also, if you're getting users who are not clicking ads, then your CPMs are not going up. That's it. Like, there is no more, there's no more possibility. Those are the only two variables why your impressions go up, but your CPM kind of falls down.
All right. I got an important question to you because this is one of the big topics that we want to talk about too. You said there's a way to unlock about 15% ARPDAU growth on AdMob with low code using one massively underused feature. What is this, Ashish? I wish I had a drum roll. Do I have a drum roll here? No, I don't think I do. Okay, sorry.
I'm doing one on my like desk, but no, I think this was something of an eye-opener for me as well. So typically, you know, any ad network, you have four key metrics, right? You have the number of requests, which is basically you have your users and you show them ads. So that's the number of requests you're sending to the ad network. Then you have something called your match rate, which is, okay, how much did the ad network send you back saying, hey, I can fill these ads, right? And usually that's in the high, like 100%. Let's assume you send 100 requests and you get 100 requests filled. The next metric is a really interesting metric that most people never focus on, which is called the show rate. The show rate is basically the difference between what the ad network was saying, I can fill this, versus what your users actually saw. So 100 people could have been shown the ads, but only 25 end up seeing it. So there's a big gap. 75 people didn't even see the ad that the ad network sent back. This is a metric, Steve. This is the metric that I was talking about. And it's really as low as that, like the 25 to 35% range that people just do not focus on when they are trying to optimize their ad revenue. They look at the number of requests, which is the traffic. They look at the fill rate. They kind of ignore the show rate and go to CPM and say, hey, my CPM is good or bad. But show rate is something that you guys can fix. Show rate is actually dependent on your code. It is dependent on your app's code, right? So if you're using heavy code or a large number of SDKs, which is also why I don't love SDKs, it's going to slow down your app. So think about a user who's coming to your app. He might be spending like 2 seconds on a particular page and seeing the ad. If you've got very heavy code or SDKs, he's not going to be able to see the ad. The ad has come. It's there. He just doesn't see it because it takes time to load. So it's like the days of old internet where you had to wait for like the bar to complete. If you call that, then that's what's happening, right? And I think there are now people, I mean, I don't want to self-promote, but including us, who've come up with solutions saying, let's solve this problem for developers, because a lot of developers do a very basic kind of fix for reducing their code, but they don't make it as efficient as possible, right? And I think some ad networks are also trying to solve it. And I think this is going to be a big, big increment for people in terms of ad revenue when they improve this metric. We've seen a 15 to 20% increase in ARPDAU, which is extremely significant, just by adding like some efficiency in the code that you have.
Just because I don't like acronyms on the average revenue per daily active user, ARPDAU.
That's right.
I do.
So that is unfortunately boringly long acronym, but it is the it's the holy grail in our industry.
Yeah. Murad has a question. But will Google move to pay per 1,000 impression next year? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's AdSense, Murad. So, you know, if you kind of linked on to AdSense, which you might have, they've already kind of shared that they're moving to a paper impression model.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, Parth. So bang on. So they've already sent that message out. I think the message is clear that it's only for AdSense. It's not for the other products right now. So AdMob is not sort of in the line of vision yet, as per the Google blog. So we don't know on AdMob, but on AdSense, it's already happened.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. And Khalid said, perfect. He's loving your stuff. It's just, you can't get anything better than perfect. All right.
I'm waiting for the dad jokes. Maybe I'll throw up.
That's when Ashish will fail. All right. The The other thing that I want to talk about too, where you talked about the Google Help Center and then why that's not enough and the best practices to maximize. Did we cover this already, Ashish, or do you have more to add on this?
Yeah, no, I think it we kind of covered it in the top 1% of developers. And, you know, I think like credit to Google, right? It's like they've got 2 million people trying to work on this AdMob product and, you know, they kind of make maximum money out of it. And Google's got a very small team that's working on AdMob, right? Because they're amazing at what they do. It's very difficult for them to, I think, communicate everything that they want to communicate. They really want to help you. They really want to help the small developer. They want to help the big developer make as much money as possible. It's in Google's interest and that's Google's DNA. I think it's just hard to do that when you're dealing with literally every developer from like every part of the globe. So it's not localized. Like, you know, we speak Hindi in India. Mm-hmm. The Help Center article was not in Hindi, or I don't even know if it's in Hindi right now. And we are a nation of 1.5 billion people, right? So so it's not easy for Google to do all this. So a lot gets lost in the sheer volume and maybe sometimes the language, because it's, you know, it has to be legally vetted and compliance, right? I can speak like this to you informally. I can catch up over beer and tell you what the 1% are doing. Google can't do that. So the Help Center is useful in its own way, but you've got to go out. I think, like we said earlier, go to an event, meet people who've been there, done it. They'll share the hacks with you. They'll share how to do it.
It's really true. I mean, that's a great point. And I know it's tiring sometimes, but it's very, very true. Like if you can get people one-on-one, they're more likely to open up in
absolutely
that environment. Yeah. I love it. Look, Ashish, and I'll tell the audiences, if anybody has an AdMob question, I always just say, go check out AppRo. That's my number one response. I'm not an expert in this. All right, letter grid. Do the ad units of the app with low click-through rate drive down the eCPM of ad units with higher click-through rates in the same map? Should we remove the ad units with the low click-through rate?
So thanks, letter grid. So the simple answer is no. They don't have any correlation with the other ad units. So one ad unit's behavior is independent of the other ad unit in terms of CTR. So you shouldn't remove it unless it's like harming your UI or something else. It has no correlation on your CTR of the other ad units.
I see. I like it. I'm trying to find letter grid's name. Is that Richard? Something? All right. Parth says, Parth, if I created 2 different ad units, interstitial ads for US and India, does it help to get better eCPM?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Parth. So I would say, no, it doesn't help you get better CPM unless you also treat the way that you are using the data from the interstitial ads differently. So let me just explain that. So let's say you have one interstitial ad unit for both countries. The data is mixed. You're going to have a harder time driving any insight from it, which you can use further for, you know, your campaigns or like other strategies. But if you had 2 separate ad units, your reporting life becomes much easier, right? You get 2 separate reports, like interstitial 1, interstitial 2. You can move them easier into like different waterfalls, which is very important when it comes to different geos. So I would say it's more of a convenience and more like an easier BI thing for you rather than just like upfront giving you better CPM. That's not going to happen. It's just going to give you better business insights, which is very important.
Yeah. Thank you for saying what BI means. I like that. I caught that. Letter Grid was asked. I was asking about eCPM.
What was the earlier question? I'm so sorry. Letter Grid.
Yeah, here. Do the ad units. Should I remove units?
They don't have any correlation on the monetization of the other ad units.
Okay.
Nothing to do with CPM, CTR.
Osama, young Osama, how do you monitor and monetize the performance of AdMob campaigns? What are some key performance metrics you should look at?
Yeah, it's a great question. So look, I think firstly, if you're in the whole ecosystem of doing UA every day and monetizing every day, firstly, I would look at everything daily, maybe even twice a day. The 4 metrics to look at are the number of requests you're sending. Are they correlating with the number of users you have? So like if you have 100,000 users and you want to show them 5 ads, are you at least sending like 10 ad requests? The second metric is how many ads are being filled. The ones that you're sending, what's the fill rate? So is the network or the combination of networks that you're using, are they filling close to 100% of the requests that you're sending? The third one, which we spoke about, right? The one that a lot of people just overlook is the show rate. The gap between how many requests are filled and how many are actually shown. That is impressions. So are you getting the number of impressions you wanted, right? So in your mind, you should know if I have 100,000 users, I'm sending 1 million requests, I'm getting 1 million back. am I showing at least 500,000 impressions? And then the last one is a CPM, which is what is the value that the ad networks combined are giving you for the impressions that you're serving. Those are the four metrics that you need to look at all the time, every day, twice a day, thrice a day. You should know them at the back of your hand. If anyone asks you, like, what's your CPM? What's your show rate? What's your match rate? You should just like know that by format.
I love it. All right. And I know Saeed's got a question. We will get to your question in a little bit. But before we do, we got to get to the app audit side of things. I want to keep things moving, making sure. I think we went like an hour and a half last week. And we like to start off every app audit segment with some dad jokes. Maybe I should change up my cadence. I always say it like that. All right. Sheesh. You said you had one really good corny one. All right. Give it to me. Let me get make sure my fingers are ready.
Oh my God, it's so bad. I told you, I warned you, Steve. I was like, I'm not really good at corny jokes. I'm good at good jokes, but I'm not good at corny jokes. So this is cricket season in India. It's hot time. I was telling Steve, we have a final on Sunday. Probably half a billion people, billion are going to watch it. Most of them from India. So, you know, in the spirit of cricket, I'm going to tell you a really corny cricket joke. So Steve, I have a very simple question for you. Why do you think Indian cricket grounds are so cool despite being a hot country?
Why?
Because they're full of fans.
Okay.
How bad was that joke? Can you like read it for me? From
we're gonna let the audience decide. It's not bad. I've heard worse. All right. All right. I'll go with this one. I don't have a really solid one this week too. It's a poor showing. All right. I got this one. Ashish, 10 years ago, I asked my childhood sweetheart, my best friend, and the most beautiful woman in the world to marry me. All three said no. There you go. Sorry, honey. You are all three. I love you. I'm sorry.
That was better than mine, but less corny than mine. So maybe I won.
Oh, man. Put A if you thought Ashish's joke was better, and then put S if you thought my joke was better. Okay. Let's see. One being totally cool and 10 being awful. Luis said 4. And then he said 7. All right. You got to put A or S. All right. That you guys got to pick. All right. If you guys want us to take a look at your app in a future live stream, we'll just go to appmasters.com/audit, appmasters.com/audit. All right. Suresh asks, this GPS just wants app growth. So he's already got 500,000 downloads, which is amazing. But any thoughts on app growth here? We can get to the app, and so you can talk more about the ad monetization side, because look at this. It contains ads, as Google says.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think right at the top of my head, right, this is a very crowded category. Firstly, let's just call it out. A spade, cards on the table. GPS maps has been around for a while. It's a tricky category because you're dealing with some big guns. Like Google's got its own maps, Apple's got its own maps. You know, you're dealing with like people trying to find the best way to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
There are lots of, you know, apps doing that. App growth is going to be hard because your ASO is going to be really hard. These are some of the most competitive keywords that you're ranking or trying to rank for, right? I think what's interesting about Suresh's app is the offline pitch that, hey, maybe these maps are offline. And also the word navigation, which is very interesting for me. And if I look at his UI and when I see the app, right, I like the fact that it's got a bit of more of a brick and mortar feel to it rather than like, you know, just the normal sort of Google Maps feel. So I think that's going to be a differentiating factor. In terms of app growth, what I would recommend, Suresh, for you may not be able to get like a very broad audience, like maybe not 10 million, 20 million, 30 million. That's going to be really hard. It's probably going to cost you a lot of money. What I would do if I were you was focus on the 20,000 users, because I think you're going to have good retention, because those 20,000 users are finding kind of like a niche in the category that you're in, and figure out how to show ads to them or even in-app purchases. It's fine. Like maybe you want to sell them something else through in-app purchases. That's what I would do in terms of your growth and monetization flywheel. But Steve, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I love what you said. And I think, you know, I'm trying to pull up it to see if there's any good keywords on this, but essentially I thought I was deja vu because we did an app audit last week with another GPS app. And I was like, so I completely agree with you. It is crowded. And what I like to say is, look, if you're going to rely, he already has 500,000 downloads, which is amazing. But if you're going to rely on ASO and not do any paid traffic, then live in the niche is where I like to say. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as there's, and I'm trying to pull it up with App Follow, but I looked at GPS, right? That's all I searched for. And I looked outside of the top brands. We have Waze, mm-hmm. we have Apple Maps, we have Google Maps, and we have these other ones that are like, I'm like, what is this? So I click on it, and App Follow sometimes doesn't work when this is, but look, it's still my one of my favorite tools when I'm doing keyword research. I like to live in the niche. And so, you know, the example I give is we have a sleep sounds app and it's making pretty decent money, and but it's not, doesn't rank for sleep sounds, right? Like, and so there's this broader niche that you can go after. And we had another client that's doing about $4,000 to $5,000 a month, and it's in the ChatGPT space, but it's more niche, and that's using the same technology. So rather than being GPS, like, could you be something else? I don't know, you know, route planner. I know that's a pretty popular one, but what are some other things that you can do beyond that uses the same technology, but also lives in the niche too? So
I love that phrase, living in the niche. I think we're seeing more of it in the apps world for sure.
Yeah.
Because the big plays have already like sort of played out.
Yeah, I know, man. That's the hard part. Okay, let's get into the app and then you can give some feedback, because I'm sure it has some ads. And I can see for a GPS app like this, you know, ads have to be pretty
they've
viral.
Got your favorite, they've got a favorite format, App Open. At least in India, I saw the App Open.
Oh, did you? That. Okay, let's see. Yeah, sure. I'm opening it for the first time. So
yeah.
Oh, it is. You're right.
They've got an ad right up front.
What do you think? This is my first time opening it, Ashish. So what do you think?
So, this is a bit of a risky format, because this is an ad and it kind of looks like this might be the app, because you know, the first glance you don't know.
Right.
It just says call us for information. Like, for example, that's the ad, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going to help if you're like, and I agree with Steve on the niche part. Since you're going for niche, which means you're going to have to keep a fewer users happy all the time, I don't think this is going to help you build that niche, because people are going to get confused and probably click on this.
Yeah.
You're going to have very high CTR like Joe had. I don't think this is going to help you with your policy and all the other stuff. So I would remove this unit for sure.
Maybe I've seen better ad. I know when we did one with Sid back in the day, he showed me a better UI that was like clearly an app, and it said continue with GPS. You know, it had the little bar up top, continue with whatever app name versus what this app is doing.
So that is the AdMob App Open. So I would recommend to Suresh, use that. I've never seen this kind of placement before. I'm not sure it's entirely going to help your user experience. Use the AdMob App Open.
This is kind of like very messy is what I found. All right, let's see. I don't even know what this icon means. I was going to tap here, but I have no idea, because it has the most real estate. I have no idea what this means.
I think it's the compass. Oh, no, I think it's not the compass. Actually, there's a compass separately.
Oh, it's not moving either. I can't tap on it. Okay, live navigation. All right. I'm not trying to give them away my address, but let's see what happens. Another ad for a similar app. It's a lot of ads. I'm all a fan of ads. Ashish, are you surprised? I was surprised that on the homepage I didn't see any banner ads.
Yeah, because you know, for me, this is a very common thing in India. We see these kind of apps all the time where the ads are a lot. And actually, you'll be surprised that a lot of users in India are okay with it. Like, I don't think that these are high retention apps. These are not like, you know, D30, D60, where people are just keeping the app on their phone for like 60 days. These are mostly apps that are doing low cost per install and high CPMs. And why do they do high CPMs, Steve? Is because you have high click-through rates, because the ads are so many and so often, you end up clicking the ads quite a lot.
I'm trying to remove my address, but it's not even, I can't even, the thing is not even coming up.
Yeah. So I think, look, I think Suresh, like, this is, you know, you got 500,000 downloads. I'd be very interested to know your ad revenue, because if this is working for you, like, you know, getting downloads, maybe they're not staying very long on your app, like in terms of time or keeping the app.
Yeah.
But if your revenue is good and people are maybe using it for like one specific thing, like maybe a compass one time, or like, you know, navigation or like voice navigation, then you probably got a good like app on your hands for earning money. I don't think it's going to be like a long-term brand play, if that's what you're looking at. So I just, those are my points of view on this app, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. No, we see an ad right here. It was very hard to use, Suresh. I was like, I couldn't even get the keyboard going up. But it looks like he's trying to do all in one. I've seen other apps where all they do is a speedometer right here. I know I'm like pointing at something right here, and they've doing well. So like, this is what I mean. Like if you live in the niche, like maybe it's a little bit less crowded. And so could you take some of these elements and then make it its own app? And I've talked to somebody who has a speedometer app and does pretty decently well. So I see all the ads. Maybe the latency was there. That's why this ad didn't show. What do you think?
No, it's still- Could be.
All right. Let's see. We got some questions. You'll be late. Letter Grid says, yeah, you'll be late for your appointment by the time you watch all those ads to get directions. I agree. It's a little bit too much. Like, I'm all a fan of making money, but that felt a little bit too much. All right. Let's get to Sheesh. You might be happily surprised, but you won, bro.
Oh, I won. Oh,
yeah.
It's
Mary, thank you. You're the only real one. Everybody else voted for Sheesh, man.
Cricket love is spreading to my bad joke. So
Saeed says, can you explain a little bit about the waterfall units? Whoops. Like which CPM should we start from? $100, then $80, then $60, or some other approach?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Saeed, thanks for calling that out. A lot of publishers that I work with actually feel like they undervalue the inventory. They don't think my inventory can be worth like $500. You'd be surprised. Mm. So some ad networks and the premium ones on the premium formats, like an interstitial or rewarded, they do $900 CPMs in like what we call tier one countries like Norway or Australia, right? They might serve only 10 impressions, but that's a lot of CPM. So it's worth it, right? So we typically recommend a waterfall strategy where you should know your user geo. So if you've got like a tier one user geo, like, you know, high value countries, iOS users, typically these are things that are considered high value by advertisers. You can go higher than 100. I would say start at like 500 and work your way down. Run a test. See if you're getting any impressions at those high points. Don't undervalue your inventory from day one. So start really high if you've got those user geos. If you've got maybe like a tier two geo, like in India, maybe start at like, you know, $50. You're probably not going to get above that. But then work your way down and make sure you've got like different prices, like 50, 45, 43, 42, and just test those out across different networks.
Nurek says, before I used to consider AdMob as his primary source of revenue, but thanks for Steve after his live streams and recommendations and ideas about subscription. I really love subscriptions in App Brains. I think you can do both. Sheesh. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of thinking about like, you know, I've seen other apps do this really well. I'm also thinking about like a diversified income stream. So have ads, the subscriptions, remove the ads, have also tokens like games, like think about games, right? Like, if you're a subscription app, like one of the games we worked with, he's making off most of his money on subscriptions, but he's also making pretty good, decent money off of just his store where people can buy coins. I was like,
absolutely. Look, I think this is the now, right? Like I read a recent study that only 2% of people buy something in your app, either an in-app purchase or a subscription. So what Steve said is bang on. You've got to monetize the remaining 98%. You can't just let them be. But those 2% are going to give you a lot of value. Monetize 98 using ads and definitely get the two to buy.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I think that's the right approach. And plus, you know, like I think in my opinion, Ashish, ads remind people that there's a premium product.
Absolutely. Yeah. So absolutely.
It's almost that. All right. Oh my gosh, we got a lot more. Saeed. Bro, we did. All right, calm down. People are getting aggressive in the comments, man. We're doing this for free, bro. No, I'm just kidding. Saeed, we did get to your question. I said I would get to it if you were paying attention. All right, Marwan says, is set ECPM floor to high floor to increase revenues? I tested it, helped me increase revenues by 200% match rate, 50-60%, but it's only for 1 week. Mm-hmm. After that, it decreased again to 7-15%.
Yeah, you know, Marwan, thanks for bringing this up. You know, the thing about waterfalls, which is what you're doing, you're setting like a waterfall basically means you're setting different CPMs or different price floors. You need to change it every week, in my opinion. People do it more often, but change it every week or at least every 2 weeks at the bare minimum. So what will happen is the match rate that you saw at the high floor that you put, it'll probably start going down like this. Because what happens, and maybe this is getting a bit technical, so Steve, you can stop me if I'm just getting
too much. I love it.
What's happening is that the minute you set the floor on day one, it sends a signal to the advertiser saying, hey, this guy thinks he's got high value inventory. So the ad network tests it. They say, okay, I'm going to send a few users. Are they going to buy something? Like, let's say they're going to an Amazon ad. Are they buying something on Amazon? If they're not, the ad network is going to stop filling that high value inventory that you thought was high value, but it didn't prove to be high value, right? So you got to reset the high floor at a lower floor and your max rate will go back up. And you'll finally find an equilibrium saying, okay, now I found the right value of my users that the ad network agrees, and boom, I don't have to worry. Now I'm going to make money at the same max rate.
Talk about a slap in the face, huh? It's like, Marwan says, oh yeah, you thought you were that thing, but the ad network said, nope.
I always say this, ad networks can make you feel really invaluable. They're basically telling you what you're worth.
I like this question. Sheesh, can you give some examples of apps that are doing a really good job with ads? What are they doing that is so impressive?
Yeah, so I think once you look at the gaming ecosystem, if you're an app developer or non-gaming developer, right? The gaming ecosystem is very, very evolved in terms of ad monetization. Within the gaming ecosystem, look specifically at hyper-casual games. A few publishers I'll recommend, and you can check them out in the store. Rollic, which is now owned by Zynga, does a superb job at ad monetization. Popcore, also owned by the same company, does a superb job. PlayValve, Quali. There's one in India which is doing phenomenally well called Spearmint Games. Very simple games, all the folks that I just mentioned.
Right.
They do a really good job in terms of not just ad placements and formats, because that's the basic checklist. But I think what's interesting is that if you look and you play the games a lot, you'll understand the frequency of ads. And maybe if you really want to put effort, like do it from different VPNs, so different countries, so you know like what a US user is seeing versus an India user. They do it beautifully. Right. And you'll see differences in frequency, differences in something called the refresh rate. So like if you're seeing a banner from, let's say, Apple and you're still on the screen, it'll refresh every 15 seconds and you'll see another advertiser on the same slot. Yeah. So these are all these like micro things that these developers, and there are many, many good gaming companies that do it. But the gaming ecosystem is very evolved because the gaming ecosystem is completely dependent on the daily arbitrage between user acquisition and ad monetization.
What were the games that you said? I'm kind of looking at.
I just mentioned publishers. So Rollic, R-O-L-L-I-C. Popcore, which is P-O-P-C-O-R-E.
Rollic. Hold on.
Rollic, R-O-L-L-I-C. I'm just going to type this in our chat and you can maybe post it, Steve.
Oh, okay.
I'm just typing the other one as well.
There.
So these are all publishers.
Okay.
If you just kind of Google like App Store or Play Store and their name, you'll find a bunch of games that these guys publish. And they all do really phenomenal jobs at showing ads.
Rollic. I thought they were going to be not hyper-casual, but they look like they're hyper-casual.
Yes, they are hyper and casual both. Like hyper-casual.
Yeah. Like here, I'll just pull that one up because I like visuals. Rollic. So sort of like their games remind me of like voodoo-ish.
Stuff. Yeah.
And then
so they have like a ton of games, right? And really, really like doing very well.
Scavenger. Oh, okay. You know what I noticed, Ashish, was I was trying to pull it up for everybody. So like here, I was trying to go top grossing when you were talking. And then I was working with this client and I thought I was going to be right, but I was wrong. So give me like one of your favorite like subscription apps. We can pick Canva. What do you think? Top grossing. I want to stay away from entertainment, but like something more like productivity.
For me, it's always like for me as a user, I always loved the dating apps as a model.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I have Tinder. Now I have no idea what's going to happen. I would love to get your thoughts. Give me a game then. You want me to pull up?
You have Clash of Clans. Do you have anything from Supercell?
Okay. Let's go. King, Supercell, let's go Royal Match.
Yeah.
Kelly? Okay. So do you want to guess which Royal Match or Tinder, which one has a higher revenue per download? I like looking at that number, right? Because I'm like, okay, I get one download and make more money from that one download. Which one do you think has more, has a higher?
Good question. I think my guess would be, okay, you know, this is going to be tricky. Downloads is a very tricky metric. I want to go with Tinder.
Tinder. Okay, let's see. Oh, wow. you're really close.
Oh, it's Royal Match?
Yeah, it's right here. If we look at global, it's 650. Then it's App Magic's. I'm using App Magic Rocks. So it's 55. Tinder's a little bit higher, but on the tier one countries, Royal Match wins a little bit. But this was shocking to me because I would pull up, like, I was like, okay, let's just pull up Calm as an example, right?
Yeah.
And or Audible. And I thought Calm or some fitness app would have higher revenue per download, but it's really just games and dating. So you can see $4. But games are like 17, 6. And then, dating obviously is going to be high too. So really interesting, because I was like, you know what? But it kind of speaks to volumes of, like, when you think about monetization, like, in my opinion, if you have a subscription-based app, look at games. How can you incorporate some of the things that they're doing in their games so that you can diversify your income?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think one of the things about hyper-casual games, right? Is that it is very difficult to make money in a hyper-casual game. Because there's no like brand, right? You don't know the brand. You're just playing a game for like 20 minutes maybe, and that's it. There's no brand. Yeah. So I think they're almost forced to come up with the craziest, hackiest ways to make money across subscription, IAP, and ads. So I always love looking at them, because like a Tinder or an Angry Birds or a Supercell is a brand.
Right.
You're more comfortable paying for that. But imagine a game you never heard of and someone's asking you to pay money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these guys are doing like incredible stuff to make money from their users.
Yeah. You can see they're getting there. So I'm assuming this is more hyper casual, but like compare these 10 million. Now this is a brand, obviously. So it's a little bit different, but it was pretty interesting. So,
yeah, I would say the difference, here, I think these figures might be a bit misleading, because generally an app analytics tools, they're good at recording in-app or subscription revenue, but not ad revenue.
Yeah.
And these are like all ad revenue.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just be the life of an app too, right? They've accumulated so much revenues that, because this just launched last year, whereas Royal Match has been around for 2020. So they got a few years ahead, but it would be good to compare the two. But I just thought this was interesting. The fact that, but I like what you said. I want to take a look at more of these, maybe scavenger hunt, these type of games too. And then this talks to me, like, I'll just go on a tangent here. Like, I think with these type of games, sometimes it's like, I don't think ASO is that important, unless, you know, obviously you're going to go after something like scavenger hunt, which I know has search volume. And so it's like, okay, you know, build a game for what people are searching on versus what you think people are searching on and trying to build a brand. This is building a brand. This is kind of like going after ASO and figuring out what people are searching for and building the game.
Yeah. Bang on. I completely agree with you.
All right.
That's such a great insight that you just shared.
Marwan's waiting for you, Ashish. Thanks, Ashish. You gave me great tips. I filled out the form for working with AppRota, but they told me I'm not qualified.
Marwan, we'll check that out. I'm so sorry that happened, but let's check that and get back to you.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, I'm just getting to the...
Going down your name here. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're so nice, man. I'd be like, get bigger, Marwan, and then come to me. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm messing with you, man. All right, we got Christoph's app. I think Christoph is here.
Yeah.
He wants help with, so it's called Emotion Tracker Moodistry. Paywall, prices, keywords, everything. Screenshots, marketing ideas. All right. What do you think so far about just the App Store presence?
So I think firstly, like, I love the visuals, right? Like you'll be surprised as a percentage how many apps just look bad. This app looks good. It probably been the like top 5% of visually appealing ads, apps, right? I think top of my head, I think the name, again, this is great from what you just said, segueing from the brand point of view, right? And the ASO point of view. Like, this is a name which is trying to build a brand, like Moody Story, like, you know, and I think Christoph, then you've got to think of other touch points of this brand, because it can't be just the app store where you are looking for like keyword searches, because no one probably might be searching for Moody Story yet, right? So how do you kind of build that brand touch point is going to be really challenging, because Moody Story is a brand. It's not a keyword, right? I think emotion tracker is a keyword. And again, that's an upcoming keyword. That's, again, like a niche one.
Yep.
And you're going after that niche. So I think creating the brand here is not going to be, for me, it's not going to be about the app store. It's going to be about what you do outside the app store. So like social media, or like, you know, maybe brand campaigns, video campaigns, because you're obviously doing something, you know, which is outside of just like a basic utility. People are, I think this is an app that's going to be close to people's heart, right? Because it's about self-improvement and you know, well-being. So I think I'm going to be attached to your app. So I think building the brand outside of the app store is very important. So just keep your blinders off the ASO point. I don't think you should look at ASO.
Yeah.
So I think that from an app growth standpoint would be there. So keywords, you know, to answer your keywords question, right? I don't feel like keywords are going to drive a lot of your traffic.
Yeah.
That's going to convert to high paying users. I think it's going to be the people who know your brand outside of the app store that are going to come to the app store and say, okay, I'm going to search for Moody Story because I like Moody Story. I saw a video on TikTok or Instagram and wow, I love what they're doing. Let me download the app and keep it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how are you thinking about content marketing would be my first ask outside of just the keyword one. Yeah. And Steve, then you said paywalls.
Well, Ashish, yeah, for this.
Sorry.
I really like what you said. And I think, you know, Christoph, we got to work, and I hope you don't mind sharing this, but we got to work with him a little bit too. And we went, you know, we did go after certain keywords because we just thought there was less competition. One thing I'm really focused on is how do you use Google search to drive downloads? And this gets to what you were talking about with content marketing. And you can see the first few are more like, you know, moodtracker.com, very well, how to use it, all that stuff. And then you can see this one, Mood Notes. It's probably the number one app for Mood Tracker. But it's what we've seen with our clients sometimes is you will get downloads from Google, you know?
Absolutely.
And so think about it. And you can see Mood Tracker app has 4,400 searches according to Keywords Everywhere, and the CPC is pretty low and the competition is pretty low. So, you know, we have started to think about SEM campaigns as well to drive downloads, but yeah, like it might be an interesting way to drive downloads. It's just the web search. Don't forget about web searches.
Yeah. Look, I think don't forget web, and I think don't undermine social in especially the kind of genre you're in, right? Like you're trying to, it's self-improvement. I think that's a big topic on all the reels and TikToks. Self-improvement is huge, the number of the videos there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So if people start, and you know, this was interesting that happened. A fintech app in my part of the world actually bought an Instagram channel because their reels were so good on finance.
Oh, wow. Right?
And they just did that because it was just good content. And then eventually, obviously, like people started recognizing the association and started downloading the app. So I would say, you know, because marketing is also one of the questions that Christoph asked, is that I think your marketing and your keywords are going to be more for me outside of the store than actually inside the store.
Okay, let's get into this one. I'll put Steve. Glad to hear you. Let's add your first entry. Now, uses a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 6. I think I'm pretty a 5 right now. Okay. Just from a UI perspective, Christoph, and maybe I didn't talk to you about it when we were actually, so like my eye is like focused down here and then I was like, where's the next button? And then you're now telling me to go up here, which I think you should try to keep things close to each other versus like making my eye now go up there. Cause I wasn't even actually looking up and I was like, how do I go into the next part? So I didn't, and just like, yeah, you know, keep them closer together in my opinion. Even up to, I haven't been up to anything. Maybe just working out. I'm a little confused on what I'm supposed to do here. But once you're done, tap on the arrow at the top. Yeah. I have no idea what you mean, what I'm supposed to do here. Do you know what I'm supposed to do here, Sheesh?
I think you're supposed to choose, like, it's like choosing emojis to reflect, like, what you did. Like, let's say you hit the chat. And then it's going to then show you, like, the output.
Okay, where's Cricket? Is it Cricket? Yeah, sure. There you go. Yeah. Sure. Man, people are just pulling up my address everywhere. All right. Jeez Louise.
So it's basically like, I mean, you know, I like the concept, like as a person, like, you know, tracking moods. I think it's interesting. So that's what the output was, like, what's your mood based on what you just did? And then it gives you a calendar of like how you felt at different days.
He's asking, I mean, I'm still going through the tutorial. I don't really like the tutorial that much, but okay. It's kind of confusing. It's like enough. I'm going to keep going down. I should have not given you, access to my location. All right, here. Finally got to the paywall. Let's get some feedback. So 60 days off today. I like that messaging here. I'd just get to here quicker, Christoph. I think you're waiting too long. Like, it just felt like laborious. When a good onboarding, like, I don't want to be walked through what I have to do. Like, I know games do this really well, but like, in my opinion, Ashish, an app should be intuitive enough that I know what to do versus you having to walk through every single thing. A game, I get it. Like, I don't understand the gameplay yet. You're walking me through how the mechanics of the gameplay, mechanics of the game, but an app, like, it's a mood tracker. Like, let's go. That can't be that complicated. Let's go. So get to this paywall faster. I mean, you can look at your data, but I just didn't enjoy my experience on the onboarding.
Yeah, I think it's a bit long. I think when I also used it, when I got to the paywall, I was trying to understand what I should pay for.
Yeah.
In the sense, like, what it add value to me tomorrow. And, you know, because we were doing the audit, so like, I spent a lot more time and I understood. Yeah. And I love the 62% off, firstly, let me call that out. Like, that's beautiful. Like, the way it's just there and like nice, clean. But I think the one which Steve pointed out is the question for me also. Like, I'm still not clear, and because these things are also moving, I'm still at the paywall not clear what exactly I'm going to buy, apart from like maybe some colorful widgets and themes, which is fine. But like, I don't know how it ties back to the mood calendar exactly.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's a little mismatch between my expectation when I downloaded the app and, you know, when I reached the paywall, like because of maybe the journey that it involved.
Yeah, and I'll go quickly on this because I want to make sure we're good on time. So, Christoph, I don't like this paywall. I mean, I like certain elements of it, but I don't really like a lot of it. I'm going to give you a C on this because the colors are here. Stop making things move, because when you make it move, guess where our eyes are? Right here. Guess where our eyes are because of all the color? Right here. Guess where our eyes are not? Right here, into actually buying your app. And so change the paywall a little bit. I would just put with text, like unlock all that stuff and have certain text up here about the benefits, and then put the color right here so that it stands out a little bit. So take this green, take this red, put it right here, and then just put in text what you get and stop scrolling it. It's too fancy. Okay. Whoops. Enough location stuff. All right.
Your address is all over the internet, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna have to cut that out later. I've already taken notes of when I have to cut that out. Let me put this in here too, about the 1 hour mark. All right. Anything else I miss? Let me get through this. Okay. Nurek says, any casual games? App casual games have so many millions downloads, but when you see an app on fire, not so much earnings. And that's because these platforms, you know, can't get the ad revenues. Ashish, they're asking for it. Do you have round two for dad jokes, or?
I only had one dad joke. Okay. I'm so sorry.
No, you went there.
I know Steve probably has a bunch of them.
I do have one more, but they're not so good. All right. Well, Ashish, I don't mean to brag, but, you know, these cashiers are always checking me out. There you go. That's for you, Five Live. All right, guys. It is, if you guys want to learn more about how to increase your ad mob revenue, ad monetization in general, go check out appbroda.com, appbroda.com. They are the source and the people that I always send when people ask me, Steve, can you help me with the ad mob? I'm like, yo, I don't know anything about that stuff. Go check out appbroda.com. Ashish, if the audience wants to connect with you in any other way, do you want to send them anywhere else?
Yes, you can just email us at publisher@appbroda.com.
Awesome.
And we'll be in touch with you.
Cool. That's it, guys. Next week, I'm on vacation. It is Thanksgiving here in the States. So I will not be here next Friday. It's officially Black Friday where people go shopping. And then the week after, we will be back December 1st to really, let's see what we're going to talk about. Talk about lifestyle marketing and all the things you need to, I'm like, what am I talking about? AI monetization, whatever. It's going to be a great show like it is every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. So thank you guys for tuning in. Ashish, thank you so much for coming on and doing this and staying up late.
Thanks, Steve. I love you. I love your show. And what an honor to be here. It was super fun. Thank you, Five Live. Thank you for all the great questions. And thank you for tuning in. And have a great week.
The app ads goat, man. There you go.
Cheers, man.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving for those who are celebrating, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. All right, bye.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at ASOmasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.